Law.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Welcome into what I hope will be a happy Wednesday for you. And it's cold. It's going to continue to be cold throughout this week, but at least it's cold and clear. But it is windy. So keep that in mind. If you are heading out the door, you're going to be hit in the face with some wind. And it's kind of like a constant blowing of the wind. So it's not like you get an occasional gust. This is when you walk out there, it's hitting you in the face. What's the forecast today? Ouch. Because it's certainly colder. I mean, when I walked out the door and was coming around the house, I wasn't hit with the wind. And I was like, oh, it's not that bad. But then that wind started when I turned the corner and I was like, So just keep that in mind if you're heading out. If you don't have to head out, well, don't rush it. Wait a little while. Wait till the sun comes out and it'll go up a few degrees at least. So we have a lot we can talk about this morning. Of course, we can revisit our discussion yesterday with new City Council President Shane Burgo, who did say that he will make regular appearances here on the program. We've just got to figure out the timing of that. He wants to be able to come in and take your phone calls. And, you know, I'm going to leave it up to every council president how they want to handle it. If it works better for them to go on Chris's show, so be it. But if it works better for them on this show, I'm open to whatever format they want to utilize. When I first started doing this segment, Councilor Abreu was the council president, and because of his schedule and his day job, it worked out better for him to be on the phone. And so he was able to give me about 25 minutes of his time every Friday. I forget what day we did it with Councilor Abreu. I think it was Friday. But he was able to give me, you know, about 25 minutes to a half an hour every week on the phone. And then when Councilor Morad became the council president, she wanted to utilize the format of bringing other councilors on with her to talk about the different initiatives that they were behind. And I like that idea because it got us a chance to talk to all of the councilors and got you a chance to hear about the work being done in all the different wards. And honestly, part of that was because I knew, you know, at the time, you didn't really know who people didn't know who these counselors were as people. So you got a chance to learn a little bit about them. That's why we would talk about some things outside of the realm of their work as counselors, too. Obviously, with Councilor Carney and her work schedule, it didn't work out for her to be able to join us. She's up and getting ready and heading out the door the same time that we're going on the air. So it didn't work out with her schedule, but that's okay. She was able to come in a few times with Chris McCarthy when her schedule allowed. And now we will work it out with Council President Burgo. And I'm willing to make that segment as long or as short as he's able to do. If he wants to do a full hour, we can do a full hour. Maybe there's some weeks where it is an hour. Maybe there's some weeks where it's a half an hour if there's not as much going on. But we'll be flexible with it to make sure that it's the best quality radio and the best information that we can bring you. Now, here's the other part of it, too. There are a lot of people that are listening that aren't from the city. So for them to hear an hour-long discussion with a city council president might not be as interesting either. But I feel like it's an important part of what we can offer as a public service. So I want to be able to do it. So that'll be happening. So, you know, things that we didn't get to, I heard a caller call in to Chris and say, you know, we didn't ask him about the crime. Well, because we have other weeks. I knew going into that we were going to have more opportunities to talk with him. And so yesterday was about addressing all of the controversial topics that were making the headlines as he was winning the council presidency. That's what we were focusing on. But we'll talk about all those other topics over the course of the next year. And I went back and listened. I should have written some notes out, but I just had it kind of playing in the background while I was doing some other work yesterday. I mean, were you satisfied with the answers? I think it was pretty telling where a lot of the things people were concerned about for weeks leading up to the election of the council president, that's not what people were calling Chris to talk about yesterday. Instead, they were focusing on the fact that he was 20 minutes late. And if you walked away from that with just the fact that he was 20 minutes late being the only thing that you could pull out of that to argue with, well, then I would like to think that maybe some of your concerns were assuaged. At least for the time being. But it was very important to note that Council President Burgo said he doesn't see the council presidency as a position in which he would be pushing his own personal politics. In fact, he doesn't even see the role of a city councilor as a position for pushing your own personal politics. We started the conversation talking about how the council is more or less a bipartisan body, or a nonpartisan body, I should say. Obviously, your philosophies and ideologies will impact your decisions. If you are a fiscal conservative, you are going to be fiscally conservative in the decisions and motions and arguments that you make. But I think we did a pretty good job of getting answers out of him on things like he said he is not for defunding the police. He supports the police department. He talked about, you know, the way he's changed his position on rent stabilization. And I thought that he gave us an honest answer. He'd still like to see it happen, but he knows that it's not going to happen. So what's the point of continuing the argument if it's something he would personally like to see, but he knows that it's not a possibility? That's the end of it. We were talking about the fact that, you know, the Boston rent stabilization measure through a home rule petition has just been languishing at the State House. They're not bothering to take it up. And if that's the case, why bother to push it? Then also, we talked about the idea of the centralized homeless encampment, the city-sponsored homeless encampment. And I think it took him a little while to get there in the answer. But in the end, the answer was there will not be a city-sponsored homeless encampment in the city. because he was careful not to say, no, we won't have homeless encampments, because as he said from the very beginning of his answer, we already have them. So I think, I mean, I got the questions answered. You might not be satisfied with the answers, but that's because you want to believe what you're going to believe anyway. He could come out and say anything, and those of you who don't want to believe him will say, well, that's just what he's saying. So then we'll let the action speak. We'll talk in a year, and we'll see if any of the things that you are concerned about are actually things you need to worry about. So I'd be interested in hearing your take on it. Your honest take, you know. Consider what was said. Consider what the role of the council president actually is. And think if maybe you didn't just get a little bit too overly emotional about the whole thing. And realize that in the end, it's not going to matter. And I know people get mad when I keep saying that, but who the council president is really just matters to the other people on the council. Because it's about who runs the meetings, who assigns the committees. If you feel like Gilly does, that Linda Morad is the real power broker behind everything on the council, then who does it matter who has the gavel anyway? So I think what you've got is you've got someone who wants to do the best job that they can in that role and who is a good procedural like a game general, you know, somebody, a field general, somebody who can manage the game, somebody who can get you who can maximize 60 minutes of football into the most possible points. That's what you're getting. And that's what you were so worked up about. So we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Participation trophy wife says, you definitely sound like you're feeling better today. You predicted the future. Yeah, I do feel a little better, but I'm just going to keep my voice lubricated here. That's why you might hear me run a few spots at the beginning of the show, a few PSAs. That's I was trying to get my throat coat tea in. And I had to wait till I felt like I was ready to actually start talking. But it's getting better. Hopefully, this will be the end of it. I've actually got to do some TV work coming up early next week. So I'm hoping that my voice comes back fully by then. And I'll let you know more about that when I can. But I think that it's going to be an ongoing struggle. It'll probably keep happening during the course of the winter. I'm just cursed with, that's what happens when I get sick. No matter what I do, it hits my voice. So I'm sorry in advance if it gets scratchy and hurts your ears. It probably hurts your ears when it's not scratchy too. Plus, I don't mind the extra bass I get when I'm sick. All right, so we will take a break here. Again, later on today in the 8 o'clock hour, our special guest today will be Teresa Caputo, the Long Island Medium. She's going to join us for about 15 minutes or so to talk about her upcoming shows, in Medford at the Chevalier Theater and what you can expect. And I think she's a lot of fun, so we should have a fun conversation with Teresa coming up later. But right now, let me take my first break of the morning. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. One of those songs that you always hear like in the background of things, but like you never really think that much about. But Delamitri, Roll to Me. So we are going to be talking some more about the Shane Burgo discussion yesterday and taking your thoughts on it. 508-996-0500. I also have an article I want to point you to at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, where yesterday I was surprised. I got what I think is the best kale soup I've ever had. And I've had a lot of kale soup between 22 years in food service, but 17 working in a diner with a number of different chefs who all thought their kale soup was the best. And everybody who's ever brought me in homemade kale soup, and everybody who, every restaurant that says that they have the best. 10 years as a dine out reviewer for the Standard Times, I've had kale soup all over the place. But this one blew me away. And I was surprised at where it came from. So you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And we can talk more about it coming up. But right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
America says goodbye to Jimmy Carter. Why the U.S. Justice Department is suing six major landlords. And good news for those with medical debt.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Nearly 44 years after Jimmy Carter left the nation's capital, the 39th president returned to Washington for 3 days of state funeral rites starting on Tuesday. Carter's remains, which had been lying in repose at the Carter Presidential Center since Saturday, left the Atlanta campus on Tuesday morning. Carter will be buried in Georgia. Las Vegas police revealed on Tuesday that the soldier who detonated a Tesla Cybertruck outside the Trump Hotel used ChatGPT to plan the attack. The investigation found that the man used the AI tool to research explosives and ammunition. While ChatGPT is designed to be harmless, the incident highlights the potential for misuse of the technology. The Biden administration asked a federal appeals court on Tuesday to block a plea agreement for accused 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed that would spare him the risk of the death penalty in one of the deadliest attacks ever on the United States. The Justice Department argued in a brief filed with the federal appeals court in the District of Columbia that the government would be irreparably harmed if the guilty pleas were accepted for Mohammed and two co-defendants in the September 11th attacks. It said the government would be denied a chance for a public trial and the opportunity to seek capital punishment against three men charged with a heinous act of mass murder that caused the deaths of thousands of people and shocked the nation and the world. The U.S. Justice Department is suing six major landlords for allegedly colluding to keep rents high. The lawsuit claims the company shared sensitive data and used an algorithm to set prices, effectively stifling competition. This comes as millions of Americans struggle to afford rent amid a nationwide housing crisis. NASA is seeking a cheaper and faster way to bring Mars samples back to Earth. The original plan ballooned to $11 billion with a return date after 2040. Administrator Bill Nelson scrapped the initial plan, citing the high cost and delays. NASA now exploring two more affordable options, including one utilizing innovative designs from commercial partners. The revised plans aim to return the samples in the 2030s, potentially as early as 2035. Final decision will be made next year following detailed engineering studies. And millions of Americans will soon see a boost to their credit scores. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has issued a new rule that bans the inclusion of medical debt on credit reports. The significant change will make it easier for people to qualify for loans, including mortgages and car loans, while also protecting consumers from predatory debt collection practices related to medical bills.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins next game away with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday. Celtics next game home with the Sacramento Kings on Friday. New England Patriots have interviewed Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton as they search for a new head coach following the firing of Jerod Mayo after a disappointing season.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny and windy today, a high of 28. On Thursday, partly cloudy and windy with a high of 29. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 39. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with a WBSM app.
Name the band. If you said Dishwalla, you are correct, which I think that might be the only song anybody knows by Dishwalla, but unless you were a big Dishwalla fan, which maybe you were, I don't judge. So an interesting story out of Providence. So they don't have, like many other cities and areas in cold weather like we are experiencing right now, this frigid blast that we're dealing with, they don't have enough beds for all of the homeless folks. They don't have enough space for them to go inside and be able to get warm. And so as a way to kind of send a message, the Providence City Council opened up the city council chamber on Tuesday night to allow homeless people to come in and warm up in the city council chamber. Ward 6 city councilor Miguel Sanchez told ABC 6, "There's just not enough room, shelter beds for our most vulnerable neighbors." Sanchez is also a street outreach worker with Better Lives Rhode Island, a nonprofit that helps homeless people. And he said he didn't think that the city and state are working quickly enough to help those on the streets during this freezing cold blast. So he said, "We're taking it on a day-by-day basis. Hopefully this sends a strong enough message to city leadership, to state leadership, on something that folks have been calling for weeks now, is for the governor to declare a public health state of emergency." He said that they did consider other options before opening City Hall, but they weren't approved, so they felt that this was the best option at the time. "We want to be clear that none of these solutions are perfect," Sanchez told ABC 6, "but we're trying our best as city representatives to offer some type of space where folks can be somewhat warm." And even some of the homeless folks that they spoke to said, "Hey, I realize this is just a one-night thing, but there's just not enough beds. So I'm glad to at least have this place for one night." And then Mayor Brett Smiley, the mayor of Providence, sent a statement into ABC 6 saying, "I oppose tonight's action by the city council. City Hall does not have the resources, expertise, or proper facilities to serve as an emergency shelter. The city is supporting multiple emergency warming shelters across Providence with available beds that are professionally staffed with the resources and tools our unhoused, vulnerable population needs. Opening City Hall as a shelter disrespects the hard work of our community partners who have the expertise to adequately provide support for our community, and this action distracts from the serious solutions the city and our qualified partners have been leading to support our unhoused populations." So, a little bit of a battle there between the mayor and the city council in Providence regarding this move to open up city council chambers as a place for the homeless to warm up. Could you imagine if that happened in New Bedford? People would be losing their minds. And it seems like that's what's happening in Providence as well. But it's interesting that, you know, the mayor is saying, Well, we've got the resources. While the literal homeless person is telling ABC6 there's not enough resources. While the city councilor who works with the homeless population for a living says there's not enough resources. And I don't agree with Mayor Smiley. I don't think that this, you know, is a slap in the face to those who work with it. I don't think it disrespects the hard work of your community partners. I think it's giving another option for something that is a crisis. But then where does it go from there? I mean, if you need more space, what do? Do you start opening up school gymnasiums and cafeterias? We already know that, you know, folks on a day like today will use the public library as a place to hang out, to stay warm. What else can you do? I mean, I can tell you there's been times when, you know, I've been home on a really, really hot day. And maybe either my air conditioner isn't working or it doesn't do enough. Or I'm just too cheap to run the air conditioning and pay the electric bill. I go to the movie theater. I'll go watch a couple of movies in the theater to spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours in the air conditioning. There was a day last summer where I was going to be working from home on a Saturday where I said, you know what, instead of staying here and running the air conditioning, I'm just going to go into the office. Nobody's around. Nobody will distract me. Nobody will bother me. I'm still going to get done what I got to get done. And I can just utilize the air conditioning that's already running. 508-996-0500. We have a call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. Just regarding the housing. I mean, right off the top of my head, I know we got a few buildings out there that the city owns that we could easily convert to a shelter. We got Hallmark Nursing Home that was set up for COVID, for emergency. That's probably a good place that they can use. I mean, you got schools throughout the city that are closed down that can, you know, be turned around for short-term use. So we do have places. So it's just not being executed.
And do you think part of the issue is they don't have people to staff them to be able to open them as shelters?
Well, I mean, as emergency management and this cold front coming up, I mean, I would hope we could have a plan for that. You know, I don't know. I don't have to, you know, answers to that. But I know we do have places out throughout the city. Like I said, Hallmark Nursing Home was set up for COVID. And, you know, that probably has maybe 80 beds, if I remember correctly. So, you know, I really don't have an answer, but we do have properties out there in the city of Bedford that can be converted temporarily to something. You know, it's better than nothing, yeah. You know. But that was my two cents.
All right. Thank you for the call. You have a good day.
You too.
And, and there's also, you know, a number of vacant churches as well that that the diocese could open up and probably have available volunteers to be able to staff too. And even if it's not, you know, the ideal situation, you know, we'll get press releases when the weather, the temperature drops of you know, where these warming centers are for people to be able to come in and get warm, but it's not a place where they can stay overnight. But that's only because there's nobody there to staff it. There's nobody there. There's no beds that they can physically put in. That caller's mentioning, you know, the nursing home that actually has beds available. It's a catch-22 because the more you make these shelters available when you get these extreme temperatures, the less likely the homeless people are to try to find permanent solutions. But you also can't leave people out when it's, you know, in the teens. And when we have temperatures at night, wind chills at night in the single digits. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. We'll be right back.
Out, a stranger cries, screams out loud. I had my world strapped against my back. I held my hands, never knew.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. And I don't know if you know who is singing. Oh, obviously, you probably know that that's the Wallflowers, which is fronted by Jacob Dylan, son of Bob Dylan, the subject of the new movie, A Complete Unknown, which I still haven't seen, but I've heard of good things. But you may not be familiar that singing backup on that song, and you can hear him now that you know, if you didn't know already, is Adam Duritz of Counting Crows. And he sings the backup on the chorus. And Counting Crows, of course, was a band that I didn't like at the time and has grown on me over the years. Maybe I'll play my favorite Counting Crows song some point this morning. But one place that you won't have to be counting crows, because you won't have to eat any crow if you go to the butcher shop, right? You'll be able to get good stuff there. No, you know, when you eat crow, when you say that something was good and then you say it wasn't good, you know what I mean? You don't have to worry about that at the butcher shop, because everything there is good. Quality, prime, choice meats, fantastic selection, cut the way you want it. You wanna have yourself a nice steak with some gristle on it, that's all right. They'll cut it for you. You want to have something a little bit more lean, they'll take care of you. They'll cut it the way everybody in the family wants it. It's not like going into the supermarket where you just have to kind of root through everything that the butcher's already cut and say, well, I guess I'll take this one. I guess I'll take that one. No, it's going to be exactly the way that you want it. And it's going to cook up like nothing you've ever had before. Try one of those celebrity pork chops. They're not kidding. It'll make you change your mind about what you thought you could do with pork. It is like having a steak. You can cook it medium rare if you want. As long as you get it to the right temperature, you can have it however you want it. And it is absolutely melt in your mouth delicious. But what you also get at the butcher shop is that personalized service. They remember you when you go in there. They treat you like you're part of the family. They treat you like you're part of the neighborhood, even if it's not your neighborhood, because it is an old school neighborhood market. So see everything that they have to offer, from the beer and wine cellar to the cheese fridge to the great pre-made foods. I got a question the other day on the app chat about the French meat pie. They are right there for you over by the register. You know, they've got them ready to go. You can buy them and take them home. You can cook them up. You want them cooked, you want them warmed up and ready to go and eat for lunch, they'll do that for you too. Whatever you need, they will take care of you at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And I say to everybody that say, well, I live in Rochester. Do I have to go all the way to the butcher shop? Yes, go. Just go one time and tell me that it doesn't become your new favorite place. I know somebody who goes there weekly from Wareham to buy everything. All they eat, all she eats now is meat from the butcher shop. And she's happier, she's healthier than she's ever been. So, again, just go there one time, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, see everything they have to offer, and it'll become your new favorite place to shop, the Butcher Shop. I've got to take one more break here before the end of the hour, so let me get that out of the way. We will be right back. Going into the news in just a moment. We are going to be taking more of your calls coming up at 508-996-0500 and your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Again, in the 8 o'clock hour, Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, joins us. She's performing two shows in Medford at the Chevalier Theater in February, and we'll have all the details for you. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com and find out more at TeresaCaputo.com. If you've never been to a medium's, what they call gallery reading, you're not guaranteed that you'll get a reading if you go, but you could be one of the people that are selected. So don't go if you have any secrets that you don't want the spirits to share. But we'll talk.